in some ways, I think we kind of opened a can of worms that people's heads may be spinning about. Gee, what are my digital assets, and do I have rights to pass anything on? We have with us in studio Dan Hoops, who's an associate professor of accounting and taxation at Walsh College. Dan, so good to have you in.
Well, thank you.
You've been involved, as you said, in writing a lot of these terms of service, or in a couple of instances, so you know what you're talking about. That's, by the way, folks, the clicking on the button that says, I accept, which we've all done, and in so many places. Heaven knows what assets we have out there. But some of the things that I saw listed are that you might have, folks, as a digital asset, would it be email accounts, website domain names, social media like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram. I mean, you name it. Documents that are stored online.
That's right.
For instance, Dropbox.
OneDrive,
iCloud, you name Box. Online bank accounts. We talked about mortgage utilities.
Once again, anything that you clicked accept on is part of it.
Now, the other thing, too, by the way, is Bitcoin.
Right.
Some of the virtual currencies.
Yeah, digital currencies.
Mm-hmm. PayPal accounts, iTunes accounts. You brought that up earlier. So there's a whole bunch of stuff out there. Dan, is there anything we can do to pass this on to our family?
That's why I love you guys. You asked me the question that puts me in the box. There's the answer that I'm going to give you as the attorney. There's not a whole lot you can do. Okay.
All right. We'll start off with that.
Yeah, and the reason why I say as an attorney there's not a whole lot you can do because you have to follow the terms of service. And the terms of service can be changed at any point in time. And almost all of them will say you're not allowed to assign your assets to anyone. Now, some states do provide that you can designate someone as your digital administrator.
Okay.
And right now, these are such new statutes. In fact, the Uniform Commissioners is a group that proposes laws, did propose a statute for all states to adopt. And only 8 have adopted it right now. Michigan is not one of them. So if I advised you or a client, just write down your passwords and give them to everybody, I'm advising you to break these contracts.
I got you.
So, but for family members, I might say, well, I'm concerned that we won't be able to access your email.
Well,
so make
yeah.
sure you write down or you keep your password somewhere where I can find it. And the reason why it's so important to understand that if you notify one of these service providers that someone is dead, they can do anything to that account. They can terminate the entire account. Yahoo for years would actually wipe your, erase everything in your account.
Ouch.
Some of them will just freeze it up, like Facebook will just freeze up your particular account. It could actually defeat
the purpose.
They're
beginning to deal with it, aren't they?
They are, and they've actually, and I was telling Cal off the air, they've actually changed their terms of service twice on this particular issue.
Yeah.
And so now they're providing, they're relaxing a little bit, but there's some things you cannot do. For example, you can't add new friends, if someone passes away.
Obviously, yeah.
You can't delete anything from the account. So they're still kind of guarding things, but what I would tell my family members, not a client, make that clear, is to write down your passwords, and we would not notify any of these providers that this person died or that they were incapacitated. Because remember, this also applies in estate planning if you are incapacitated, if you're in a coma or you're unavailable.
So, Dan, I have a problem.
Uh-oh.
So much of what I do today, especially all my photographs, are on my phone.
Yes.
And the way to get to my phone is use my thumbprint on my iPhone 6.
Why is that a problem? If you're dead, I'm just going to come to the funeral home and I'm cutting up. Oh!
Well,
so how do we deal with that one?
Grave robbing.
Well, no. Go ahead, Cal. Him on that.
No, because, you go first.
Because I think when you select a thumbprint, that's only one option. You still have the ability to do
yes,
a pin.
That's true.
Yeah, there's a pin as well that you can put
but
in.
I like Dan's answer.
I still like the idea of going to see Gary in that box with only 9 fingers.
Stop it.
Yeah, we would take the thumb.
No, wait a minute.
That's right.
How about this as, for instance, I've gone to using a password keeper, LastPass.
Sure.
Which has a vault. It's called a vault.
Right.
In which I have not only the passwords to all of my, and then the idea is that this one password guards all the rest of my passwords in the vault there. But it also has my credit card information and everything else that's really vital data is in there as well.
Right.
Now, I was just talking with my youngest daughter the other day, who, there are two of my daughters who probably will be in this position of being my executor. And, I'm getting older and I have cancer. So I've got to think practically in terms of not just for me, but for my wife.
Sure.
Because she's not aware of those things there. Here, Molly or Lynn, my other daughter. Here's my master password that will get you into the vault, and from there you can get to all the rest of the stuff.
And that's prudent. My only other suggestion on something like that, because there are several services that are doing that. My only concern would be you would definitely want to investigate whomever that service provider is. Will they notify the service provider that you have passed away? Will they do that? Because, again, you are giving access to your account to a third party, that particular digital locker, for example. But also, whether or not that company stays in business. One of the issues we've run into with some cloud providers being offshore, not in the United States, is what happens if you get into a little contract dispute with them towards the end of your contract? Because, quite frankly, they could just deny access to your cloud, and they're in a different country. Whether or not that would really happen in a situation like this, it's probably remote, but I'm supposed to be the person who's supposed to be paranoid and thinking of every possibility that could go wrong. Those would be my concerns.
I love that, paid to be paranoid.
Okay, so just so I make sure I understand, from a lawyer's standpoint, a barrister, a solicitor, if I, in my estate planning, put all those passwords in and say my executor has authorization to use these passwords, they really don't because the terms of contract don't allow to do it. But if you put them in there anyway to be convenient and then tell them after you've gotten all the information you got out of it, you'll be okay.
That's what I would do for myself.
Okay.
I probably wouldn't put any of that into the actual will itself. Now, you could try to appoint someone as your digital administrator. Again, Michigan doesn't recognize that right now. But I would probably just keep a side list somewhere else and just be with the family. And I'm not worried about somebody coming and stealing it. It's really, I don't want it to get published because when you file a will with the probate court, it actually is published and anybody can come in and look inside your account and they'll see what your particular accounts are. Not your passwords, but just the fact that you have these particular digital assets or someone might be trying to access those.
Mm. Could you specifically grant, let's say, one of my heirs to be the access to those virtual assets? Could I, one of my daughters, for instance?
That's what I've done with mine. I actually have a separate list, and I give everybody, my power of attorney in the event I'm incapacitated, and then someone in my, in my will will have the authority to actually go in. Because the other issue is you might have somebody that's really good as far as managing the estate, but you might also have somebody who you might not want in your accounts. So, for example, I might want to designate, if I were married, my wife as my personal representative. Do I want her to really go through and read my Facebook and my my private that type of thing? Well, those are real issues that have come up with clients. I don't know if I want my mother to read my emails or look at all my pictures.
Well, when you think about it, how much of that really matters to them? But they do want some digital assets, like photographs, family photographs.
Well, photographs, right? I think, is the big issue. Cal, he's jumping out of his skin.
You're killing me. This is like, it went from the internet advisor to the law show. Listen, what if I take all my stuff and instead of putting it in my own name, I put it in a trust? Now, can a trust has officers, and then the trust is making the agreement?
The trust is actually the way to do it, because we call these living trusts because they'll live after you've passed away. But the problem is, when you create, for example, a Gmail account or a Facebook account, are you really setting it up in the name of your trust, number one? And number two, do you want to give Facebook a copy of your trust when you set up your Facebook account? Because they'll need to see that you actually did prepare a trust. Now, you could do what's called a certificate of trust, which is, kind of a, like a little memo, a short form that you did create the trust. But at the same time, I don't even know if they would allow you to do that.
Mm.
But is that you're onto something there.
Is it the bottom line here seems to be that we really are we're out in territory where there's no real good definition.
There's no good definitions.
And it's what's happening is it's getting deeper all the time because more and more stuff is in this digital world.
And that's the thing. And just to carry on the point about the trust, Michigan did propose, there was a Senate bill that was proposed where we were going to have access to digital assets in Michigan. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, when I read the bill, and this was over the summer, it was only for people who had a trust. Now, the problem with that would be, if I currently have a living trust that I've set up many years ago, if I want to put my accounts in the name of my trust, I actually have to assign it into my trust, which means I already violated the terms of service because you're not allowed to assign it to anybody else. The second thing is, most people don't have a trust.
Right.
So it probably would have hit a very small percentage of people that
most
would
people don't have wills.
That's right. Most people don't even have a will, much less a trust. So it really was just kind of a silly statute. Michigan was the only state that passed this, and I remember reading it thinking, this is just more bad legislation. That we need good legislation, not bad legislation.
Dan, what are some? We're getting short on time here. Is there any practical suggestion you can give to people right now who are you know, this is all brand new to them. They're thinking about it. By the way, folks, if you go online to internetadvisor.net, there's a couple things there. Under Dan's smiling face there, you'll see Estate Planning with Digital Assets, which is a paper that you wrote a number of years ago. And then Protecting Your Digital Assets When You Die was an article that I want to refer to as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hang around.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to be talking briefly with some folks about a big party coming up with arcade games, the original arcade games. But Dan, I want to have you wrap things up and talk to me a little bit in a practical way what people can do right now to protect those digital assets and maybe some practical ways of passing it on to their heirs as well.